I'd like to ask each of you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, please. So glad to see each and every one of you out this morning and to be able to open from God's Word now and study from it for a little while. I'd like to begin with what I hope is an obvious point to this congregation of people gathered, that Jesus has all authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we find Jesus in his resurrected body. He came and he spoke to his apostles, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We ought to listen to Jesus Christ. He has all authority. It's been given to him by his Father. And so whatever he says regarding our lives upon this earth and the preparation for the life that is to come and the salvation that we can find in him and only him, we ought to listen to him. He should have the preeminence in our lives. That is the superiority when it comes to our thinking and our speech and our doing. We ought to consider our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, above what others may say and above what we ourselves may even want. We should be looking to him for our guidance with regards to all matters regarding salvation, eternal life, daily life, relationships, because he has all authority. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 1 and consider that the Father did something for his Son and for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, he speaks of the Father. This is the Apostle Paul speaking of the Father and of what he has done for his Son. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. He, that is the Father, put all things under his, Christ's feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, there's just no doubt about it. There is no debating this point. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. Now, he is not the head of the church by accident. He is not the head of the church by chance. He is the head of the church by design, by the divine design of his Father in heaven. His Father placed him there. And so what our Lord and Savior, who has all authority and who is the head of his church, has said, that ought to take priority in our lives. That ought to have the superiority over what everyone else may say or what we ourselves may feel or think. Because he alone has all authority. He alone is the head of his church. Now, as individuals, our free will, that is the ability to choose whether we will do the right thing or the wrong thing, that is something that is given to us by God. It is a matter of the order of creation. It is, in fact, our birthright. As we are born upon this earth under the sun before our God, we have choices to make. You know, that's true in whatever country and at whatever time you live. Even if you live under the most oppressive government that ever has been upon this earth, you still have choices to make. You can choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing. We have free will. Now, we happen to be in a country in which we enjoy free will, or rather, freedoms that are granted to us by our government, and we're thankful for those. We celebrate those. And so consider, when we have this matter of free will, that allows us to choose. And this land in which we live, we are free to choose a number of things. And we're blessed by that. But I'll tell you, in matters of religion and the church, most people in this world, most people in this country, emphasize personal choice and personal preference over everything else. Most people would encourage and applaud the statement, go to the church of your choice. Now let me say, we have free will. We are able to choose which church we will be a part of, which church we will participate with, which church we will engage in worship with. But who gets to choose the church that I am a member of? You know, even if people never use those words, choose the church of your choice, most encourage us to believe you have the final word, you have the final and ultimate say, you have the preeminence over what you will do, where you will go, what you will say, what you will believe, how you'll worship, and even who you'll worship. And our freedom, and I'm talking about free will here, does grant us choice in this. Absolutely. And I'm thankful for our country, which allows us to choose to worship our God. But I think what most people are missing in this day and age, and have missed for quite some time, is what about Christ's choice? What does He have to say about this? And what does He have to say about it that bears on how I feel about this and what I do about this? What about what Jesus says and thinks? Well, He possesses all authority. He has all preeminence. It's given to Him by His Father. He is the head of His church. I don't have authority. I don't have preeminence. I don't have the headship over His church. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone who is concerned with worshiping God and sacrificing and offering to God and enjoying and appreciating the blessings of eternal life would listen to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our head, has said? It would be wonderful. And again, our God has granted us freedom, free will, to choose. And we are blessed in this country to express our freedom in many ways that others cannot. But what we must understand is that does not mean there are no consequences for our choices. And you look at this world in which we live, you look at this country, and everyone expressing their freedom in worship, in practice, and in beliefs, I'd say that if we understand what God has said in His Word, we would say that not everyone is showing Christ the preeminence, giving Him the preeminence. Not everyone is acknowledging His authority. Not everyone is understanding His superiority and that He is the head of His church. And so let's turn over to Matthew chapter 15. And ask the question, does Jesus have any choice in the matter of churches? Does Jesus, our Lord, the Christ, have any choice in the matter of churches? Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 3. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees in this text. And in verse 3, He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" So this is what God has said, Jesus says. "But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you," and this is Jesus' divine indictment against that group of people who are gathered there, He said, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men." When He had called the multitude to Himself, He said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, that defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Consider that these Pharisees, they were expressing their free will as they not only engaged in life, but spoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were engaged in exercising their free will as they taught the traditions of man and the commandment of God, but held up their traditions on par with or equal to God's word, or even superior to it. They were simply expressing their free will. And they were wrong to do so in that way. They were worshiping God. They weren't worshiping after the Baals or the Asherah pole. They were worshiping God, but what does Jesus say about them? He says it is empty or vain worship. And he goes back and talks about the prophet Isaiah and what the prophet Isaiah has revealed. So there were a group of God's people way back in Isaiah's day who were doing the same thing. And there were folks in the first century doing this very same thing. And I would suggest to you that if we look carefully at what God has said and the lives of men and women in this world, we would say that there are still people today who uphold their traditions, their teachings, the doctrines of men on par with God's word or even elevated above God's word. And they're expressing their freedom when they do it. But I want you to notice verse 13 of this text. Because Jesus answered and he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Every plant which my Father has not planted will be uprooted. You see, their expression of freedom in choosing the doctrines of men over the commandment of God did not make them pleasing to God. Their efforts to worship God did not automatically make them pleasing to God. He warns them of their hypocrisy. Now let's notice what this Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, says about the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And this is a part of the text that was read for us in our public reading a few moments ago by Brother Willie Watts. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. In response to Peter's understanding and his statement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus then responds by saying, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that is this truth that you have revealed just now, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And so here we have Jesus Christ, who has all authority, who has the preeminence, and who is the head of his church, saying that he will establish a church. But not just any church, it will be his church. It belongs to him. And further than that, even death cannot stop this coming of his church, which is his body. We've already read Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. I'll ask you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1. As you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, I'll read Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. You're turning to Colossians chapter 1. As you turn there, listen. The Apostle Paul said, "He, the Father, has put all things under Christ's feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now you've turned to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 18. The sister epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to Colossae. Paul wrote, "And he," that is Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Now if Jesus is the head of his church, which is his body, and he is, then that means we ought to want to, we ought to desire to, we ought to make every effort to be a part of that church, his church. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 and consider how important he considers his church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, what the Apostle Paul will do here is give us a dual instruction, or rather, dual expression, if you will. He is going to talk about our relationship, husbands to wives, but in doing so, explain a principle of truth about Christ and His church. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. But that's not all that the apostle said there. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. So he said there's an example here that you can follow, husbands, in knowing how you ought to love your wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved His church. But he doesn't stop there either, does he? He says this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That's how husbands are to love their wives. You lay down your life for her. But more to our point, and the greater point is, Jesus Christ gave His life for His church. He gave His life. He shed His blood. But let me say that another way. That is just as true. He did not give His life for any other church. He gave His life for His church. He did not give His life for another church. He did not set out to establish another church. He set out His church. The gates of Hades could not prevent it. He died for His church. He was buried. His spirit went to paradise in Hades. But then when the time was right, His spirit was reunited with His body. He lives again. Hades could not prevent Him from establishing His church, which is His body. And the Scriptures, which we hold within our hands, in which we read and study, they support only one correct choice when it comes to faith and the church. Again, we have free will. That is our birthright. And we enjoy freedoms in this country, but we do not have the right to the church of our choice when we expect the Lord to save us. If we want to enjoy the blessings and the privileges and the promises of God regarding our salvation and eternal life, then we have to look to Him for our direction. We have to look to Him for our guidance. So we have to answer His call. We have to meet His conditions for this. We have to choose His church that He died for. Go over to John chapter 8 and consider this, that when Jesus was in the world, and He lived in the Roman world at that time, when He was in the world as a man, He didn't consider His own choice or His own pleasure first. Now, did the Roman government allow for His personal choices? Sure. Yes. The law of Moses allowed for His personal choices as well. Now, the Roman world was much more free in their freedoms in what they allowed a person to express themselves with regards to God, worship, belief, and practice, and all of this. But even though Rome granted freedoms to its citizens and to those under its rule, Jesus Christ did not consider His own choice or pleasure first. In fact, Paul wrote in Romans, Christ did not please Himself. And where you've turned to John chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, He who sent me is with me. That is, there is this close relationship here that I enjoy with my Father. But He continues by saying, The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Jesus Christ had a choice in what He would do, what He would say, and He chose the Father's will every time. He chose His church and not any other. But you know, sadly, many people try to reverse that divine order. But we're not the final authority. People do this when they choose a church based upon their choice, not God's will. One example stood out to me when I was preparing this lesson, and that is of a man Becky and I met in West Virginia who chose a congregation of God, chose a congregation based upon the fact that they served donuts and coffee, and his children could play. And his children said, "That's where we want to go, Daddy." And so Daddy said, "Okay, we'll go there." And he made no bones about it. He didn't have a problem with saying, "That's why I chose that congregation. That's why I attend there. That's why I worship there." And you know, there are a lot of people like that. They choose what they want or what their kids want or what their spouse wants rather than what God wants. There are people who establish their own church because they don't like what they're seeing and finding. There are people who put their own names on those buildings and on that group of people. They name it after a man. They put it after a practice or a belief. But I tell you, any and all churches other than the Lord's church, they might claim to be established by God. They may claim to have divine authority and have God's approval, but if they are established by men, organized by men, holding the commandments and traditions of men, then they will always and only be the work of a man. And what is it that Jesus said that we read a few moments ago? "Every plant which my Father in heaven has not planted will be" what? "Uprooted." Now turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to remember that just because we exercise free will does not mean that all of our choices will be blessed or approved of by our God. Just because a preacher or a teacher supports a church or a doctrine or a practice in worship doesn't make it acceptable, doesn't make it valid in the sight of God. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4, saying, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Sound doctrine means healthy doctrine with regards to spiritual things. They won't endure it. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." And that's what a lot of people have done. The Apostle Paul says, "You're going to see it." And we see that. We may have even participated in that. I'll tell you, if you choose to believe something, to practice something, or to teach something, you'll find somebody to agree with you. You'll find maybe even a lot of people to agree with you. They'll support your choice. But the real question is, does it have the approval of God? Is it from heaven or from men? That's the question that Jesus asked. That's a question that we should ask today. Our choice of belief or of practice or of worship, it may be approved by everyone in this world. But if it's not meeting the preference and the plan of our God, then it's worthless. He said so. It's vain or empty. I'll tell you, there may be even some here today in the Lord's church who hold the idea of their freedom above God's will. Now, what do I mean by that? Because sometimes when we think about a lesson like this, we think, well, that only applies to those other people. Folks who are outside of this body of people, they're in the world and they're in denominations and they're worshiping God however they want. And yes, they've got a problem. But sometimes children of God, sometimes Christians exercise free will in a way thinking that all of my choices automatically are blessed and approved of by God. Think about it this way. How is this expressed? There are some Christians today who say, "You know what? If I don't like this person or that person or this place, this building, what color they chose for the carpet or what color they chose for the walls or what this person said to me, or what that person did to me. I can just walk away from the Lord's church at any time. I'll be okay. Is that really what God has said in His Word? In the book of Corinthians, we're not going to turn there right now, but you think about the congregation that had all the troubles that they had. The solution was not go your separate ways. Express your freedom. It was express your freedom in Christ by being united in Christ. It was you solve the problems in God's way and be God's people. The Scriptures teach us that we have free will so that we will choose His free will or His will. That's the way to life. You remember, the attitude of our Lord is that attitude which we ought to adopt. Not my will, but yours be done. And that means that if I have a problem with my brother or my sister, I go to them. And I seek to settle that with God's approval and God's way. It means if I have a personal preference that's not being met by the majority of the congregation, then I'm okay with that because it's my personal preference. It doesn't matter. We need to be able to say like our Lord, I do those things that please Him, not me, and not others in this world. We please Him. We get to choose, but there's only one choice that's acceptable to our God. One is not as good as another. We get to choose, but the choice is really our Father's. God, our Creator, has given us the choice whether to obey Him or not. Whether to obey Him or not. But please understand that we can choose disobedience, but we cannot choose disobedience and expect the blessings and the privileges and the promises of God. We've been given freedom that we can accept the truth or we can reject it. But if we reject the truth, we have to expect the consequences for that. We have to expect the divine consequence for ignoring the truth of God's Word. Now, our God has determined in His infinite wisdom to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and in His church. He has, in His infinite wisdom, established a church which we can participate in, we can work with, we can serve under, and can accomplish through His will. He's given Jesus all authority. He has placed Him as the head of the church. He has the preeminence. We are wrong if we believe or teach that one religion is as good as another, that one church is just as good as another when we're talking about practice and belief. They are not. God has chosen how He will save us. And He chooses where we belong. We belong in Jesus Christ, in His church. Now look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Consider that pleasing God is accomplished when we obey God. For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in His Sermon on the Mount, says in part there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And so have you done the will of your Father in heaven? Not only in obeying the gospel initially, but as you walk each day in this life before Him towards heaven. One last passage, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. We read this at the beginning of our lesson. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 18. Beginning. This is Jesus Christ in His resurrected body. And He said on that occasion, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's what the apostles did. They went out. They proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they proclaimed the gospel of Christ, they called people to obedience to God. And when people do that, it looks like what he commanded. It looks like people who believe, who confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who turn from their sin and from their selfish ways back to God, that is repentance, and are baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and according to Acts chapter 2, are added to the body, added to the church, when we obey him. And we continue in him as we continue to choose his will. If you're here this morning and your life is not as it ought to be, you have not put on Christ in baptism, you still and yet are in your sins, then you can have those sins washed away. You can become a part of God's church and join with him and his saints in salvation. If we can assist you this morning, we encourage you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing the song selected.